Good morning. If you want to open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke, chapter 13. We're going to read some verses there in just a few moments. We're going to go to a few places in our Bibles this morning, but we'll start in Luke 13. As you're all turning there, I'd like to just say a very quick welcome to so many of you. We have a lot of our own members, but we have quite a few visitors with us. We're so thankful that they're all here. I feel like I do need to mention one. We have one of the elders from my very first internship with us this morning. They're with their family, and they're up in Danville, Kentucky. And I can't say enough good things about the church there in Danville. It's where I kind of feel like I got my start. They were very good to me, a 19-year-old. I don't even know if I can call myself a preacher because I don't know if that's what I. Even what I did when I was 19 years old, I went back and looked at some sermons, and I probably owe them a big apology, really. But it's good to see them, and really good to just see all of you here this morning. We're going to talk about something this morning that it might be elementary to a lot of people. And a lot of you might have heard sermons like this growing up. A lot of you might have heard this concept before. But I feel like no matter where we are in life, I feel like sometimes we just need to reroot ourselves in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the words of God. I should mention before we get too far in, if I start to lose my voice, I've heard about Alabama allergies. I'm now experiencing Alabama allergies. And so if I start to lose my voice, I apologize, but we'll just try to make it on through. But it's something, as I mentioned, that no matter where we are in our spiritual walk, no matter where we are in our lives, sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. Sometimes we just need to go back and look at where we are grounding ourselves in. And are we really rooted to the Word of God, or are we rooted to the things of this world? I want to look this morning at what it means to be planted in the Word. I want to look this morning at what it means to plant our roots in God's Word. And once our roots are planted in God's Word, what should we be doing? There's so many images in the New Testament scriptures, especially, that Jesus uses and the New Testament writers use that to liken us to a plant or to a tree or working in a vineyard or something. And there's so many images that we could use, but this morning I want to look at a story that Jesus said in Luke chapter 13. And that story, to me, hits home. It's kind of become one of my hobbies. Brooke and I have been apartment dwellers for our whole married life until we moved here, and we're now loving to get out and work in our yard and work in our gardens, and we're learning so much, and it's kind of become a hobby. And now when I read things in the Bible about some of these things, it's just amazing the images that Jesus uses to liken some of these worldly things to our spiritual lives. And so in Luke chapter 13, let's start reading in verse 6. This is a parable of repentance, but I want to just notice a couple things about this story. In Luke chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up good ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" This morning, we're going to talk about planting our roots. And I want to look at exactly what that means. Each one of us can be likened to this tree. All of us have planted our roots somewhere or in something. And what I mean by that is there is something that is driving us as a spiritual being or as a person of God's Word. There is something that is driving us and helping us go throughout life. Some of us plant our word in or our roots in God's Word, but there's something motivating our lifestyle, something at the root of where we get our morals, where we get our values, and what is pushing us forward. Some might call it a code of ethics or a moral code. There is something that is determining that in every single one of our lives. And when you look at the roots of a tree or plant, they are the most important part of the tree or plant. You know, What we like to see is we like to see the fruit of the tree or plant. We like to eat the fruit. We like to see the flowers. We like to see the beauty of it. But what we need to understand is without the roots and without properly rooting ourselves, there can be no fruit and there can be no beauty to look at. And so the roots determine whether the plant will grow or not. I want to look at a few things that we could take spiritually from this parable to understand what it means to grow spiritually and to be rooted in God's Word. The first thing we need to understand about roots are the roots are what anchors us to the ground. And so where have we planted our roots? I want to look in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you want to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. You know, as this owner of the vineyard came out and he looked at this fig tree, he was expecting to see figs. And he said, for 3 years, I've been coming out to this tree and nothing has come off of it. So he was ready just to tear it down. But it was the worker in his vineyard that said, let me work with it a little. Let's give it some time. Let's work. Let me actually get to the heart of this tree and let's see what could come up with it. And what we see is as a careful study of God's Word, we need to see what it really means to work and be the tree of knowledge. Listen to this in verses 1 of Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I love the image he uses here in these first couple verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Notice there's a logical progression there. It goes from walking to sitting to standing. And sometimes if we're not properly rooted in God's Word or we don't have that code of ethics or that moral code behind us, when we see sin or we see sinful activity or we see people that are living a life of sin, that's oftentimes what we'll do. We'll go from maybe walking past them and not even recognizing them to maybe standing with them and seeing maybe what they're all about. And eventually we become part of their inner circle and we sit with them. And the psalmist here uses that imagery to show, blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. But instead, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth the fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Notice that because that tree, after he likens us to this tree, the tree is able to grow because it has been planted by the rivers of water. That is the law of the Lord. And so you and I must anchor ourselves to the ground, anchor ourselves in the law of the Lord. We need to let our roots dig down deep, grab hold of the words and the Lord's commandments. And once we have put our roots in the Word of God, what we need to do is we need to start absorbing the nutrients from God's Word. So very little of us do just that. You know, when I was young, there was this older lady who lived on our block, and she would ask us to, when she went out of town to visit family or to go on vacation, she would ask my brothers and I to water her plants for her. And she had a huge backyard just full of plants. And she had a garden, a vegetable garden, and flowers, and just beautiful things. She was gone for 2 weeks one time, and she was going to pay my older brother and I to go water her plants. Well, after about a week, they were just right down the street, so my parents would send us alone, just the two of us. And we'd walk down, and we'd water the plants and come home. And after about a week, we noticed that the plants were starting to look kind of, well, not good anymore. And so we went home. We were like, Dad, she's gonna kill us. If she comes home and all of her plants are dead, what are we doing wrong? So he went with us the next day. And right off the bat, he told us, he goes, have you been doing this all week? We said, yeah. We were showing him how we were watering. He goes, well, here's your problem. You're watering the plants. You're not watering the roots. The whole week, we had been just wetting the leaves. And we weren't getting down at the roots where the nutrients were absorbed and the water needed to be absorbed. And then the roots could spread the water and the nutrients to the rest of the plant. And so sure enough, after about a week of actually doing it the right way, the plant was, they were looking better, and we felt better about her coming home to her yard that way. But sometimes we need to understand this same concept as Christians. That if our roots are not properly planted and we're not absorbing the nutrients from the Word of God, what growth can really go on in our spiritual lives? And so I want to look, are we doing everything we can to soak up the knowledge that God's Word has to offer? Look at what 2 Peter says in chapter 3, verse 18. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First off, he uses the idea of growth. Well, where does growth come from? It's grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be able to take the knowledge that we have in God's Word and absorb it and let that dwell within our hearts so that we can continue to grow. And so I want you to just think about some of these things when it comes to your own spiritual life. Are you doing everything you can to make sure you are soaking up the knowledge that God has given us? Are you searching the Scriptures daily? You know, we've talked about this in our Muscle and a Shovel class downstairs. The Christians in Berea, they were more noble-minded or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily. They were wanting to grow. They were wanting to just soak up all the knowledge that they could. Ask yourself this, are you attending every service? Are you attending every Bible class? I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who are spiritually weak or spiritually dying. And I would say this, 9 times out of 10, the people who are spiritually weak or spiritually dying don't attend services on a regular basis or don't attend Bible class on a regular basis, if at all. You know, when we come here, there's so many purposes of coming here to obviously remember our risen Savior, to worship God, to sing praises to Him. But part of coming here is growing together, of absorbing the knowledge that everyone has to offer so we can continue to grow together. And so we need to make sure, are we doing our part in attending the services, of attending every class? Are we asking questions if we don't understand something? I had a teacher, you know, in school as I was growing up, and they always said, if you don't understand something, don't be afraid to ask. It's better to ask and look stupid than to not ask and fail. And that's our fear. We're scared to ask questions because we don't want to look stupid. We don't want to seem like, well, maybe I should know that, but I really don't. Well, ask questions. Absorb the knowledge of the people that are around. I can tell you, I've learned so much from the people here already just in the year I've been here. Because there's so much knowledge just sitting in these pews today. Are you listening to CDs or listening to sermons online or anything of that nature? What I want us to start thinking about is, are we really absorbing all the information that God's Word has to offer? And all of us need to ask ourselves, am I doing everything I can to absorb all that I can? The roots of a tree will use all the resources it can. And are we absorbing all the nutrients around us? Or are we depending on other people and other sources to do that for us? Some people will say, well, my knowledge is dependent upon the preacher. Well, you're in a world of hurt if you're depending on my knowledge, because there's still a lot I don't know. Well, my knowledge is dependent upon the elders or my parents or my teacher or whatever the person in your life that has a great influence. If we're relying on the people around us, they can only get us so far. We need to take responsibility, dig deep in God's Word, and plant our roots there and absorb the nutrients. And not just absorb the nutrients, but retain it. There's a difference of reading God's Word and actually understanding God's Word. Knowledge is no good if we can't remember any of it. Isn't that the point of quizzes and tests in school? That when we learn something, we don't just forget it right after we walk out of class, but we have to actually show that we understood what we learned. We have to show what we know and retain that knowledge. And this is no different in the New Testament. Look how many times the New Testament writers were asking their readers to remember the things that they've seen or they've heard. In Acts chapter 20, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. In 1 Corinthians, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul would tell the Thessalonians. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." In the book of Jude, chapter 17, it says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, "Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent." I mean, over and over and over again, the New Testament writers are saying, remember what we've told you. Remember what you've learned. Remember the things you've heard. Remember the things you've seen. In other words, you've absorbed the nutrients. Now just retain it. Remember it and apply it to your life. Apply what you've learned. Now, unfortunately, too many Christians, I think, suffer from the spiritual disease. And it's a real life disease. It's an eating disorder in some, but the same idea can be applied to our spiritual lives. Too many Christians suffer from spiritual anorexia or bulimia. And what I mean by that is Christians will starve themselves from the nutrients that they need to survive. Spiritually. Not the physical. Watch out. If I miss a meal, man, ask Brooke. I get cranky and irritable. I don't miss a meal, as you could tell. But how many of us miss the meal of God's Word? How many of us will go without God's Word for a certain amount of time? How many of us will just go for a week without opening our Bible? How many of us only open our Bible on Sundays and Wednesdays? We're starving ourselves from God's Word. And when we're starving ourselves, how can we get the proper nutrients that we need to survive spiritually? If you are in the muscle and a shovel class downstairs, there's so many things that we've been talking about that I would love to bring up in this sermon. But if you haven't read the book, Muscle and a Shovel, it's about a man who is not a Christian studying with a man who is a Christian. And the man who is a Christian's name is Randall. And Randall asked this man, Mike, he said, "Mike, have you eaten today?" Mike kind of looked at him like, what are you asking? What he was asking was, have you eaten from God's Word? Have you gotten your nourishment yet? Have you gotten your nutrients? And how many times do we do that during the week? Or, if we are getting the nutrients, what we do is we might do something like this. We might taste the food, but we don't really get the nutrients from the food. How many times, let me illustrate this, how many times have you sat through a sermon or a Bible class? And I know this has never happened to any of my sermons. But how many times have you sat through a sermon or a Bible class and you leave the building, you get in the car, and you have no idea what the sermon was about? How many times have you sat through a Bible class and it's like, what did we, I kind of forgot what we talked about. Or how many times have you read the scriptures and you get about halfway through the page and you're just kind of like, I don't remember anything I just read, but I'm just going to keep going on because I need to finish these chapters for today for my daily Bible reading or whatever it is. I don't admit this freely, but there were times in college where I'd be reading a textbook and I get all the way done with the chapter and I think, what was that all about? I have no idea. Well, we have two options if that's happening to us. Option one is what I did most of the time in college, and I don't suggest this to anybody. I got to the end of the chapter, I said I did my reading, didn't understand it, but hey, I did what I was supposed to do, and we go on with our lives. Well, what have I really learned? Or option two is, I didn't understand it. Let me go back. Let me read again. Let me take some notes. Let me look over my sermon notes later in the week. Let me reread the passages that the preacher or the teacher talked about. Let me memorize those verses. Because what we need to understand is we need to be able to store the knowledge that we've just learned. And if our roots are not properly implanted in God's Word, how can we obtain the knowledge, first of all, but how can we ever hope to store it? You know, one of the big things in that Muscle and a Shovel book, that why Mike became a Christian and why Mike was willing to study with a Christian, was because the Christian he was studying with knew his Bible. Simply, that's what he would say in the Bible, or in the book. He'd say, Randall knew his Bible. Because of that, I knew he was speaking truth. How many of us have ever been in a situation where we're studying with somebody and they ask us a question and we have no idea what they're talking about? Oh, but I know my preacher said a sermon on this one time. We just had a Bible class on this, but I have no idea what the answer to your question is. And I'm not saying we need to know every answer to every question, but what I am saying is we need to know where to go to get the answers, to retain the nutrients that God has given us. Another thing we see the roots do is we see the roots, they keep us straight and tall. When we plant our roots in God's Word, it will help us grow straight and tall spiritually. And when we are firm and steadfast in the Word of God, we can begin to grow like God intended us to grow. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Have you ever seen, you know, just drive down the road, you see brand new baby little trees. What do? They have stakes on either side, tied them to the stakes. They're trying to train that tree which way to grow. And eventually, they don't need the stakes anymore. They don't need the support because they've done the job when they were little. And they can grow up straight and tall. And we need to understand that the same thing needs to happen to us as Christians. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Be steadfast and immovable in the Lord Jesus Christ." That only happens when we absorb the nutrients that God has given us through His Word. But what we need to understand from our parable of the vineyard and of the fig tree, and as this man came out to see his tree, he said he was ready to chop it down because it hadn't given fruit for over 3 years. The vineyard worker said, "Give me time and let me work with it." Those are the two things he needed. He says, "Here's the tree. It's a beautiful tree." He says, "Just give me a little bit of time. Give me this year also. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with it." He says, "Let's see if it can bear fruit." You know, sometimes as Christians, we want to be spiritually strong overnight. We all have spiritual giants in our lives that we look up to spiritually. They have all the answers for us, and we want to be just like them. But what we need to understand is spiritual growth takes time, and it takes work. It takes effort. Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer had to rebuke them because they said, "By this time you ought ready to be teachers, but you're still in need of the milk." They weren't growing. Although the time had gone by, they weren't growing. They hadn't put in the time. They hadn't put in the work. You know, when I was a freshman in high school, I'll never forget walking into the weight room. And my brother was a senior. And so he was, with all his friends. And he was starting lineman on the football team. And, of course, you look at these guys. And, I mean, they just towered over us as freshmen. And we did Olympic-style weightlifting for our football program. And so, you know, these guys were throwing, huge bars of 250, almost 300 pounds, you know, up on their chest, pushing up above. They're throwing it up above their head. And, I mean, we're looking at this like, wow, that's so awesome. That's what we want to do. Well, first day of my freshman year, we walk in to the weight room, and our football coach has just the bar laying there on the ground. And we're kind of like, well, where are the weights, you know? And they said, "If you want to get to where they are," and he looked over, and I looked at my brother, and he was, you know, doing his thing. And he goes, "If you want to get to where they are, it starts right here with the bar." And boy, I felt like a fool. I felt like these seniors are just going to look at us freshmen. I mean, we're already the first day of freshman year. They're already probably making fun of us and, you know, all that. And here we are. They're lifting 250, 300 pounds. We're lifting a bar that's about 45 pounds, right? And we're lifting. And for a whole month, our coach didn't let us put weights on the bar. Just the bar, 45 pounds, that's it. Boy, we got so tired of that. So tired, so fast. After a month, they let us put weights on. Before we put the weights on, our coach said this. He goes, "For 1 month, you've sat here with 45 pounds, over and over and over and over and over again." He says, "You might not have been lifting the weight, but what you've learned is something better. Because you've learned the technique. You've put in the time, you've put in the effort to learn the proper technique." He says, "Now that you have the technique, you can lift more weights faster because you actually know what you're doing." It's like the movie Karate Kid. How many of you have seen that movie? For a while, it was wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off, paint up, paint down, right? And he just had to keep going. And he had no idea what he was doing, but he was learning the technique so that when the time came, he was ready to grow. Are we putting in the time and are we putting in the work? Are we putting in hard work to our prayer life? Are we putting in hard work to understand the scriptures that we're reading? Are we reaching out to others? Are we setting goals and expecting to reach our goals? Growth takes time and growth takes effort. And it needs to be done the right way. It needs to be done God's way. But lastly, as we close this morning, what's the purpose of the tree? If you notice the in the parable of the vineyard in the book of Luke and what we just read in chapter 13, the owner of the vineyard wanted the fruit. And that's so easy to say, well, the purpose of the tree is just to bear fruit. That's really what the purpose of the tree was, to bear fruit, to bear the figs. Not just to look pretty, but for the fruit. What does that mean for you and I? Jesus says in the book of John chapter 15, if we are not bearing fruit, He will cut us off of His vine. You and I must be bearing fruit in our spiritual lives, or else Jesus will cast us off of His vine and throw us into the fire. And what does that fruit look like? The first thing we see is this could be the fruit of soul winning. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, when Paul writes there. He says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." Paul viewed his fruit as winning souls to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there, the fruit of soul winning was one of the most important things to Paul. That when he looked at somebody, he didn't look at someone of the world. He didn't classify people in certain classes or by certain colors or by certain economic statuses. He looked at people as a soul that could be won to Jesus Christ. And he looked at that as his fruit. Can we say that through our studies of the gospel and through the growth that we have taken from the gospel, can we say that as we've grown and matured spiritually, our focus is now on how can I help others grow? How can I help others see the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can I preach to others? How can I be a light to others? And that's the other kind of fruit that we can also do, that in teaching and winning people for souls, the fruit of good works is something that we can all do on an everyday basis. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Our good works will glorify our Father in heaven, and in return, men can see those works and they can glorify Him also." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "We were made for His workmanship to do good work in His, in His name." In Titus chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, it says that we are to be zealous for good works, passionate about doing good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "Do not grow weary of doing good." In other words, the New Testament writers are saying part of the fruit that you and I could bear as trees that have planted our roots in the gospel of Jesus Christ is just to go out and do good works. To go out and show people, be lights to the world, show people the fruit of the gospel. And part of that comes from the fruit of good character. You know, we know the fruit of the Spirit. There's songs to go along with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And what's that saying is the fruit of a good character. Love and joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we bearing this kind of fruit? Are we bearing the attitude of Jesus Christ? Do we have the fruit that when other people look at us, they can glorify our Father in heaven? That fruit will only come when we plant our roots in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, people will plant their roots in so many different things, whether it's false doctrines. People will plant their roots in sports. They'll put more emphasis on sports than spirituality. Maybe it's even drugs or alcohol. But the moment you and I become idle or useless, or we seek enjoyment or entertainment over seeking God's Word and growth in God's Word, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2 say that God will take away every branch that does not bear His fruit. But if we are pruning, or if we are bearing fruit, He will prune us so that we can continue to bear more fruit. I want to ask you this morning, where have you planted your roots? Have you put your roots in the gospel of Jesus Christ? To know and believe and understand that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior? to know that there is only one God? Are you planting your roots in the Bible? Are you putting your faith, your hope, and your trust, and your love in God's Word so that you can continue to grow? You can continue to do good works. You can continue to save souls. Or have you planted your roots, but you're not giving them the nourishment they need? You're not helping them grow. You're not helping them grow straight and tall, but instead, you're starving yourself spiritually. If you're with us this morning and you need to change things in your life, I invite you to do so immediately. Don't wait until it's too late and Jesus has chopped you off of His vine. Instead, attach yourself to Jesus Christ. Root yourself to Him so that you can grow spiritually strong, so that He can prune you and help you bear fruit for the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning and you haven't rooted yourselves in Jesus Christ, you haven't been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, now is the time to do so. Don't wait a moment longer. Don't wait until He starts the fire and He's already throwing people in the fire. Do it now. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so you can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.